Dave, how you doing?
Good evening to you. How are you, Jason?
I am very, very well. Are you a little surprised because they're in a playoff hunt that they're not going back to Dubnyk, who has absolutely owned the Oilers since leaving them and playing in the last seven games?
You know, Kemper's been okay the last couple times. If you had talked to me maybe a month or two ago, certainly last year, obviously they stayed with Dubnyk the whole time. But at this point, it's hard to tell who's really got the hotter hand because the defense and the team itself has been playing so poorly for the last month. It really didn't matter whether you had one or two of them or a shooter tutor in there. Any other team would score. So I think giving Dubnyk a rest at this point, just because this next stretch is going to be so crucial the last month or two here of the season, if you got to get him some rest, now's the time to do it in a week where you've already gotten two wins. He's going to play the Stadium Series game, obviously, on Sunday. So I could see why they would give him a rest. And Kemper has proved to certainly not to be a liability in that sense. He's had a couple of bad games here and there, but he's also had a couple of really good games too. So I'm not shocked that Dubnyk has a night off.
The Wild, Torchetti comes in. Usually you get a little bit of a bump. Mike Yeo, what was not working with him in the Wild?
That's a great question. And if I knew the answer or any of us knew the answer, we could have a heck of a story to go with. You know, it's odd because every single year, I want to say the last two or three years, the Wild have done this, where they've slumped. Usually it's been in December or January. And then a life vest comes. You know, a couple years ago, they just kind of turned it around themselves. Last year, the team goes out and gets Devin Dubnyk. All of a sudden, the defense starts playing better. The front line starts scoring. I think that there was a disconnect between what Mike Yeo was saying and what the players were getting, and it just wasn't working anymore. Mike Yeo is a very good hockey coach. He's going to coach again in the National Hockey League and probably be very successful. But after a certain period of time, he's been here 5 years, and three of those they've had this slump and needed something to get them out of it. I think the players probably just got tired of going through the slump, and whatever he was saying just wasn't working anymore. You know, what that is or who the players were who were kind of leading the charge against him, I don't know. But I think something had to change. The Wild didn't have the money or the trade pieces to be able to go out and get themselves another life vest like Dubnyk last year. Certainly they could have used a better scoring center or something like that. They had to do something. And, you know, the old saying, you can't fire all the players, so you have to fire the coach. And it just the combination wasn't working anymore, so Mike had to go, unfortunately.
Torchetti comes in, and he's got a reputation. Matt Cassin's on our station. He played for him. He absolutely loved him. He says very upfront and honest. You know, I spoke to some players about him, and the thing they know is, like, he's very intense. He's a guy who's really into line matching, maybe more than some other coaches, like, to the point he lines it out on the whiteboard. Okay, this is who you're going to match up, and if you're not ready, then the other line's going to go, and he expects his players to be ready. It's kind of a unique and very different philosophy, and it's obviously very early on, but it seems that the team has responded to the new coach thus far.
Yeah, and that was always the one thing with Mike Yeo that was somewhat of a knock, is he didn't necessarily – he was slow to make the changes that were needed. You know, when they played well in the postseason last year, Mike Yeo was making line changes constantly, sometimes in-game where he'd switch up pairings. He didn't always do that during the regular season, and I know that was one of the gripes this year, that one of the things that just didn't work. But, yeah, Torch seems to be very intense. He's playing and skating a lot of guys who have skated for him down in Houston as well over the last couple of years. Eric Halla, who's been playing very well near the end of Mike Yeo's tenure, now the first two games of Torchetti. Also, Jason Zucker, both two guys that have played well these first two games under Torchetti, played for him in Houston. So they get it. They know how he works. I think sometimes you just need a new voice and you need a new change, and he's going to push guys. He's going to challenge guys. He's not here to make friends, and I think that's abundantly clear through the first couple games, through the first couple press conferences. The funny thing is we only met him once, and it was for about a 10-minute period on Sunday. He got here while the team ended their practice on Sunday, and right before they got on a flight to head to Western Canada. So he hasn't had a whole lot of time to meet with the media or anything like that, so we don't really know what he's about other than the fact that he is intense and he's not afraid to call players out when they need to be called out, and I think you're going to see more of that as the team gets down the stretch.
I was looking at their penalty kill, and their penalty kills really missed Jonas Brodin, young defenseman who's one of the rare guys who's a left shot who prefers to play the right side because he's played it his entire career. That's where he likes to play. What's the status on him, and are you surprised at how much he's impacted their PK?
I am surprised. He's certainly not going to go tonight. I think he's still probably a couple games, maybe weeks away from coming back. I think from what I've heard, the injury is relatively significant, but they won't tell you exactly what it is. You know, the good thing is that Christian Follin has stepped up a bit. Mike Riley, who they just brought up from Iowa a couple weeks ago, and he scored, I believe it was last weekend against the Bruins, his first NHL goal. He's really played well, and he's been on both power play and the penalty kill as well. So those two guys are playing well to lessen the blow a little bit, but without having Brodin there, a guy who really his game is very much emulated like a Ryan Suter, where he's solid, he doesn't make mistakes, he can handle the puck but play defense well also. He's got a great shot. So they do need him, and they're missing him greatly. But with Follin as well as Mike Riley, who's out of the University of Minnesota here and a local kid, he's played much better than expected, at least in these first couple of games, probably because he's used to Torchetti when he played for him down in Iowa earlier this year. So that's been working out well. But long term, if they don't get him back some point soon, it's going to make an impact for sure.
You look at the Wild, and of course, you know, Suter plays a ton of minutes up front, and it's only been a short span, but Torchetti's line match, and he really wants to roll four lines. He's going to go with them, and, you know, you saw some of the decisions with Zoe. I know Zucker being a healthy scratch had a lot of people, being like, what's happening there? You look at the Wild, do you think they have enough offense if they get into the postseason to make any sort of run, or does their GM have to go out and try to acquire some offense between now and the 29th?
I'd love to say yes. I really would, Jason, but it's the same thing that they always face, and it's can this team get past the Chicago Blackhawks? And I just, when you look at what they have, I love the line combinations that he's made. If you look at the way he's done it, he's got a speed guy on every line. He's got Parisi, he's got Zucker, he's got Eric Halla on that fourth line who can absolutely fly. It's so you've got speed guys with skill guys, and that's always a good combination. But if you look down the Wild roster, and I've probably said this 100 times over the past 3 or 4 years, they don't have that one guy that if you see him with a puck in the slot, just instills fear in a goalie. Zach Parise, who's arguably their best scorer, is kind of a blue-collar scorer. He sits out front, and he's great at getting the rebound goals, and he's a bit of a sniper as well when you need it. But he's not Patrick Kane. He's not Jonathan Toews. He's not a Vladimir Tarasenko in St. Louis. They don't have that one guy, and unfortunately you have to draft that guy. So I don't even know if going out and getting another scorer will help this team. And frankly, if you look down their roster of what they have to deal, it's not really going to get them anything huge and while not mortgaging the future. They have so many guys, I believe the number is 6, of no move, no trade clause contracts on this roster. And so they're really kind of handcuffed. So not only do I not think it would help, I don't think they can go out and have the pieces it takes to get themselves a real score. And unfortunately, even if they do squeak into the playoffs and maybe get past the first round, eventually they're going to run up against the Chicago Blackhawks like they always do. And they are a very tough team to beat if you don't have that pure score. And they just don't seem to have that guy right now.
Yeah, and it's tough to acquire that type of player.
You got to draft him, and that's it.
Yeah, it's very true. You got to draft him. The odd time, maybe you can steal him. Like Zach Parise, they got in free agency, and Parise is a very good player, but he's even Zach Parise, you know, is not that top end of a guy. And you look at like
he's a great positional player, and he plays his position better than anybody. He, like I said, he's great with those out front goals, but he's not necessarily a guy who's going to pull a Jack Eichel in Buffalo where he can go end to end and go around 3 different guys and score a goal. And you've got to have those top end guys to win a Stanley Cup.
What's happened to Jason Pominville as we talk about the Minnesota Wild with Dave Schwartz? Is it age? Is it speed? Is it just a bad year? Because he's got 3 years left at a big ticket.
Yeah, that's a great, another great question that if I could figure it out, the Wild would pay me a ton of money. He just, at the beginning we thought maybe it was a slump, and as that went on, was it age? Jason Pominville can still play the game of hockey, and he's had a couple of good games here. I honestly, my gut feeling is that he's just a guy that was gripping the stick too hard, and once you go a couple games without scoring, you get snake bit, and it's hard to get out of it. And maybe part of that is his line combinations. Maybe part of it was that he and Yo just weren't gelling when it came to the message he was giving him. But for whatever reason, he just, I mean, there were a couple of shifts, and I believe it was the Boston game where he got a puck out front, and he thought about taking a shot, and he stopped, and he tried to make a move, and then he missed the net on a shot. To me, that's a classic player thinking way too much and is just in his own head. and if he would just stop and shoot the puck. And, you know, when you look at these first two games under Torchetti, if you notice what's different, it's that there's a lot less razzle-dazzle trying to go around guys and set up for the perfect shot. You know, Parisi's goal the other night, it's just a slap shot right from the circle. Zucker's goal is pretty darn similar. Ryan Suter's goal last night went off the face of somebody, you know, went off someone else's head and the defender's leg in Calgary and goes in. You know, that's what happens when you just finally stop trying to get fancy and just put the puck on the net. And that's what they finally started to do through these two games, and voila, all of a sudden they're winning them again. So I think Pominville is really a microcosm for what happened to this team over the last month and a half, which is they were just pressing too much, and they just could not finish plays when they needed. They'd get a goal or two scored on them, and all of a sudden they just go into this, oh, here we go again kind of shell. And that's why they had the lousy, lousy month of January and part of December and even into February that they had.
Quickly, looking ahead, we know Torchetti likes to match lines. So do you think Koivu would get the McDavid or Hall matchup?
Oh, boy. You know, it's a great question. Koivu he's much more of an offensive guy. You know, he's good on the defense, but he's not great on the defense. I think he might have a better chance of at least staying with Taylor Hall. McDavid seems to be such a speedster, and not that Hall's not a speedster in his own right, but either one of those matchups is tough. I have to think that maybe he'd keep him on Hall if he didn't try to make some sort of drastic change tonight with someone faster. But I would imagine they would try to put him on Taylor Hall and not try to get him to stay with Connor McDavid, because that'd be a pretty tough draw.
Man, I appreciate the rundown. It should be an interesting run for the Wild. They've got themselves right back in it. Dave, only 2 points behind the Predators. And, of course, the Avalanche are right there. It should be a battle in the Central. Appreciate it.
It's amazing considering the month they've had. So we'll see what happens. Thanks, Jason.